We kick off the show talking about your, not you, George, because you're a Habs fan.
And by the way, Habs and Capitals on Sportsnet right now.
Yeah, so you're going to be keeping an eye on that.
Treat.
Not your Toronto Maple Leafs, but everyone else out there. Everyone else out there.
Every single person.
This team belongs to you guys.
Right.
We have nothing to do with it. That's all you guys. That's your team.
Good luck with that.
Senior NHL writer, insider of Sportsnet is Chris Johnson. He joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Toronto, and here on the Sportsnet Radio Network as Leafs get set to take on the Flyers tonight. All right, Chris, what do you think? Does this hockey team, as hot and cold as they've been all year, more so on the cold side, obviously, do you see a hot streak in the Toronto Maple Leafs at any point for the rest of this year?
Yes, and I know that won't be welcome news for those out there on the tanking side of the ledger in Toronto, but you know, I do think, looking at you know the current run they're on, that they're not this bad, and you know, it's not to make excuses for them by any means, but I think they've had a lot of kind of everything that could go against them has gone against them in a lot of ways. I still think that they're not a team that's going to score one goal a game as much as they have of late. And, you know, inevitably, with still 32 games to play in the season starting tonight in Philly, I just think they're not going to be awful the whole way down the road. And, you know, you can already see which way this conversation is going to shift as we move forward because everyone's going to be finding disappointment in wins once they start coming here.
Chris, are you still seeing the effort out there, though?
I think the effort's there. I think what's really been shaken is the confidence. And, you know, there's a lot of players, you can see it often in body language, but especially, you know, doing what I do and then being able to talk to them, that they just feel like nothing they can do is working. And, you know, when things go wrong, I look back to that game in New Jersey earlier this week where, you know, the Leafs have, you know, score a goal with 8 or 9 minutes left to go ahead 1-0. And they just didn't handle it very well. And as soon as New Jersey ties it, it just feels like a loss is coming. And you know, I think that right now they need something good to happen to be rewarded for their effort because, you know, you can't deny that they have become a much better defensive team under Peter Horacek in terms of chances and shots allowed. And while it hasn't produced results, you know, that is largely the result of effort, I believe. And you know, there's been some small structural changes to the way they play. But, you know, I actually do think they're trying. It's just, it's gone horribly wrong for them. And, you know, it's another lost season as a result.
You know, I just fans that I've talked to lately in talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the first things they'll say to me, they'll say, well, what was the point of getting rid of Randy Carlyle? And seeing Peter Horacek setting a record for the worst 10-game start to a Leafs head coaching career at 1-8-1, might you be one of those that looks back and says, what was the point of that?
Yeah, really more what I think is what was the point in bringing him back for this season, because it was pretty clear that Randy Carlyle didn't have a solid footing in the organization. You know, when Brendan Shanahan was hired last year in the spring and took over this job, I mean, it was strongly considered at that point whether they would keep Randy Carlyle. He was brought in for a series of meetings to essentially save his job, and it just never felt like the right thing to do. I know that the Leafs brass didn't feel as though there was another candidate out there, but you know, I could just, you could see writing on the wall that this is what would happen, that they would start a year with Carlisle. The first minute things started going the wrong way, they'd fire him. And, you know, to me, that feels like a wasted opportunity because I do think that the Leafs have improved under Peter Horacek. I know the record is awful. They've been not getting good goaltending, which dooms any team. But, you know, the Leafs have shown some improvement there. And I think the move to fire Carlisle was all about trying to get in the playoffs still. And you know, clearly that hasn't happened. They've gone right in the tank. And, you know, as a result now, there's just kind of this numb feeling around the Leafs. Like, what's the point now? I mean, I don't think they're going to go into the pure tank mode. I know a lot of people would like that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of questions about what direction this organization is going in. And I think a lot of it could have been avoided if they had have entered the season not with a lame duck coach and kind of a more clear vision for what they were trying to do.
Chris, I know the sample size is smaller, but how does this team look without Dion Phaneuf on the blue line? Do you really see that big of a difference?
Not as of yet. I mean, they've actually played a couple decent games defensively, I thought, without Dion. And you know, they're getting by with, you know, Petter Granberg really making his first few strides here in the NHL. They have Corbinian Holder, who's obviously been mostly an AHL player, playing out of position, no less, just because they have 4 right-handed healthy defensemen and 2 lefties. So, you know, I think all things considered, they've done pretty well. They kept the shots down against New Jersey. I mean, a little less Certainly didn't do that against Arizona. They needed a great second period for Jonathan Bernier to be leading 1-0 going into that third. And then, of course, the weird goal from 114 feet out, you know, kind of changed the complexion of that game. But I do think that they're getting by so far. I'll be interested to see, you know, not so much in this game tonight against Philadelphia, because that's a team, you know, with some offensive firepower, but certainly not a great team in this league. But, you know, then they go to Nashville after this game, and, you know, the Predators are one of the top teams in the league, and just to see how they handle the tougher competition, because I don't think, I think that's been one benefit, I guess, so far, is they haven't been playing great teams since Dion left, but it sounds like he's going to be at least another week before he's back.
We're talking with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's George, I'm Jeff. What do you make of Leafs GM Dave Nonis in Manchester? I mean, Mike Richards is playing there. Apparently the trip was planned before that, but what do you make of it?
I don't care if the trip was planned before that or if that's been. I mean, I think there's a lot of smoke here. You know, just because a GM shows up to one game doesn't mean a trade's going to happen today or tomorrow. But, you know, what's clear is that the Leafs and Kings have had trade discussions. That, you know, I think both sides are trying to get rid of bad contracts potentially, and that's obviously the Richards situation from LA standpoint. I wonder if the Leafs are trying to include Clarkson somehow in a deal. And, you know, the Kings had Mike Fiuta, who's one of their top hockey ops guys at the ACC for the game against Arizona the other night as well. So, you know, both sides are heavily scouting each other. I would suggest more than anything, though, that you know, for Dave Nonis and Steve Casper, you know, one of the Leafs' chief pro scouts, what they're doing is probably looking at the prospects in LA system more than Mike Richards. I mean, that's a player that's played 700 NHL games, and they've had pro scouts watch him for years. I think they kind of know where he's at. It's probably more if this is a deal that either A, involves a three-way deal. I think it's possible with Calgary, because I think Calgary's been involved in discussions with both the Kings and Leafs at various points this season. So maybe there's a fit there. But I would guess that the Leafs, more than anything, are scouting some of the prospects in the Kings system, because that might be, you know, something that helps get a deal done with the bigger contracts that will end up moving as part of the deal as well.
Chris, is there any chance a Phaneuf for Richards trade could be done here? Does that even make any sense to you? And why would the Kings want to take on Dion's contract if they're going to rid themselves of a contract like Mike Richards?
I don't think the Leafs would do that deal. I think the Kings would do it in a heartbeat. You know, the thing we have to remember about Dion Phaneuf is that he's one of these guys, and it happens a lot, that, you know, all of a sudden everyone in Toronto thinks like he's just not worth anything. You know, I think that there's a real underappreciation in a lot of ways for Dion Phaneuf. I don't think he should be a number one defenseman. I think we could have a pretty good debate about whether he should be the captain of this team. But to me, he's still a very useful NHL hockey player. And I think that there's 29 other teams out there, to be honest, that would take him. His contract is obviously an issue. I mean, the length of it probably more than the money right now for other teams. And you know, I think LA would do that deal in a heartbeat, because, you know, really their blue line has, you know, lost some pieces. I mean, Slava Voynov, there's no reason at all for any of us to believe, no matter how that court case plays out, that he's going to be back this year. Obviously, Willie Mitchell, I know, is an older player, but he left him in free agency. And I think that they've struggled to find a depth on the blue line this year at the Kings, and that's why they're looking for that type of deal. And I think Dion would do great there, because, you know, he'd probably play below Jake Muzzin and Drew Doughty. He'd be on the second pairing, and you know, I think he'd thrive in that situation. But, you know, for the Leafs, they want to get value for Phaneuf. They don't want to just be taken back, you know, basically a Mike Richards, who is another David Clarkson, who's going to have trouble living up to his deal for the next 5 years, who's not giving you much anymore. I mean, the Leafs need a prospect or a pick, I think, as part of anything that involves them, you know, acquiring Mike Richards.
Chris, before I let you go, we're going to open up the calls to this topic. And we were talking about this before the show, that Jonathan Bernier is a guy that we all wanted to see a lot from, and that we all know that he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season. And the performances, he's got a sub-900 in January, and the team in front of him is not doing any favors. But I think we should switch our focus, and obviously we're asking you the same question, is should they explore trading Jonathan Bernier instead of committing to him long-term and signing him to a 3 or 4 year deal? We know he's not going to sign like a bridge deal. He's going to want some long-term security. Why commit to a guy you're not 100% sure on? You need to save as much cap space as possible. And why not just go with a guy like James Reimer for $2.4 million next year, maybe sign a veteran to back him up real dirt cheap? Is it crazy to maybe now trade Bernier instead of Reimer?
I don't think that the thinking behind what you've laid out there is sound. You know, I think where the trouble comes in is that you just don't tend to get anything for goalies. And you'd also be trading Jonathan Bernier right now at, you know, kind of a low point. I mean, he certainly struggled, I think, the last 6-7 weeks. And that's been part of the reason the Leafs have been losing. I mean, yes, they haven't been scoring a lot, but he hasn't played to held up his end of the bargain. And, you know, it's a little bit fair to throw that on him because really for a lot of his time here, he was the only reason the Leafs won game. You know, he's got a lot of 40 save wins where the Leafs were totally outplayed and he kept them in it and allowed them to win a game. But he's not at his normal level right now. And I think really what's more likely is he's going to stay a Maple Leaf. I think he's open, you know, and I've talked with him a little bit about this, but he's probably open to a shorter-term deal. I don't think he's necessarily looking for a 5 or 6 year deal because he knows his value isn't what he believes it should be anyway right now because the performance hasn't been there. So I honestly think more likely than anything is that James Reimer will still be the guy to go. I do think you have to kind of make a decision there one way or another, you know, by this summer if you're the Leafs brass. I don't think we'll see both Reimer and Bernier back next season because, you know, I think Bernier will edge into the $4 million to $5 million territory possibly on his next deal. And with Reimer getting 2.4, I mean, that's a lot of money to have tied up in the crease when you can probably get a backup, a decent backup for $1 million or so.
Right.
So I really think they'll stick with him because they've got their eggs in that basket. I mean, look, there's still, I think it's 13 games to the trade deadline and there's still 30 odd games at the end of the season. It can change. I mean, if he totally falls apart, maybe the planning changes, but I think as of right now, he's still likely going to be with the Leafs and they're just going to view this. I mean, goalies do have ups and downs. Look at Mike Smith, who was just through with Arizona. I mean, he was the only reason they made the Western Conference Final 3 years ago. And right now he can't stop a beach ball. And it's why the Coyotes are in the McDavid sweepstakes. So sometimes you got to ride through the highs and lows with a goalie. And I still think inside the Leafs organization that Bernier is seen as a guy that is going to be the number one in the future when they're a better team.
Leafs in Philly tonight at 7 o'clock, puck drop. It's on CBC Sportsnet's Chris Johnston. Chris, thank you for this. As always, appreciate it.